Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. It has been a while since our last podcast. Normally, it's my practice to release a podcast whenever prompted to do so by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are times, though, that He's given me a word that I'm not free to release quite yet. Normally, such prophecies are kept in prayer until I'm authorized to release it. And this is one of those prophecies that I've been holding on to for several weeks now. It is a prophetic message the Lord has given me that's been burning inside of me, and He's wanting me to release it now. The prompt to release this message came while I was attending an online conference last week. While the conference speaker was speaking about the glory, I heard these words in my spirit. We are the carriers of His glory. And it hit me. It's time for this message. Now, beloved, if you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you are a carrier of God's glory. The Apostle Paul said that this was one of the mysteries that we hold inside our spirits. Colossians 1:27 says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ in you is Jesus Christ Himself. He is the King of glory, and He resides within every believer. We are in Him, and He is in us. That is why we are called the body of Christ. The treasure that we hold within these earthen vessels is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, that knowledge is not necessarily known to our heads quite yet, but it is known by our spirits. It's in us, and we know it, mainly because the Bible tells us so. The question is, do we know it enough to operate in that glory every day of our lives? It is only released when we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our daily walk of life. We cannot operate like the world and think like the world and expect God to release His glory. It doesn't work that way. We must arise. We must shine. We have to wake up to the knowledge of who we are in Christ and that His glory is within us. And we have to let it shine and shine like a bright light to our generation. But it does require that we walk in maturity. That we walk in the light as God is in the light. That means walking through this life like God has commanded. We as believers are the light of the world. Sure, Jesus came as the light of the world, but we became the children of light. And when Jesus left, we became the light bearers in this world. Now, it should be obvious to anyone out there, anyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear what's going on in the world, this nation is grown dark. The nations of the world have grown dark. It is so dark out there that even unsaved people know that something is wrong. Look at the laws. It would seem that our leaders in this country have lost their minds. And yes, indeed, that is exactly what has happened. We said it on this broadcast before that the Lord said, and He was talking about the leaders in America, He said, they were under the influence of the evil one and they could not withstand Him. Therefore, people of God, come out from among them. Don't follow them. Follow God. Follow the Holy Spirit. Why are you following demonically influenced leaders that you know sound crazy? You know they're doing crazy things. The whole news media is putting stuff out there that looks insane, and yet you're following it. You're jumping in the conversations. You're repeating what they're saying. This ought not be. That's why God gave me the message title today, Come Out From Among Them. This message is directed at God's people. And in fact, it's for anyone else who knows things are out of order and you want righteousness to return to the land. Come out from among them. Don't even participate in conversations unless you speak what God says. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I like how the Amplified Classic Version says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, which means following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands being submissive and interactive in the paths where sinners walk, nor sit down, relax, and rest there where the scornful, the mockers gather. If you look at the news, you see ungodly conversations. You see plans and purposes of the enemy for an election. This is a time, people of God, not to follow the crowd. Follow God. Follow the Holy Spirit. Again, the Bible says, We're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now, this scripture is talking about marriage, but it also applies to people who are married to ideas, thoughts of others, unbelieving beliefs that join you by the heart, conversations and associations where your heart is lining up with theirs. That's what a marriage is. It's a covenant of ideas and beliefs and associations. As the Bible said, how can two walk together unless they agree? We know marriage is a covenant ordained by God, yet so many believers are yoked together with unbelievers by turning away from God's view, which is the Bible view, to agree with political views that oppose God. Come on, people. As believers, we are married. We are covenanted to God spiritually in a sacred union. To dishonor the covenant is considered adultery. How often did Jesus call the religious leaders of his day an adulterous generation? Look in the book of Matthew, Matthew 12:39, Matthew 16:4, Mark 8:38. He's talking to believers, followers of God, yet he calls them an adulterous generation, which means they're married to ideas that didn't come from God. They're married to doctrines and following after leaders who are not following God. They turned away from scripture to follow after man. Man-made doctrines and beliefs, the same is happening in America and in the nations today. Christians are lining up with ideas that may sound like God, but they're not God. They might sound nice, but they're not God. It's a man you're following, and that man is following Satan. There's only two fathers of spirits. It's either God's spirits or satanic spirit coming from Satan. So if you're not following the spirit of God, you're following the other one by default. And consequently, God's people are committing spiritual adultery, for which there is a great price. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. What that means is you're trusting in a man more than you're trusting in God. You're looking at your strength, your power, the one you want to lead you is a man. And your heart turns away from God to follow a man. You are cursed. That's Jeremiah 17:5. I want to emphasize this because so many Christians have gotten on the political bandwagon and have been conversing and prognosticating with unbelievers. And you're forgetting that Jesus said it was the Holy Spirit that's going to show us things to come. He said that in John 16:13. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Spirit of God is our guide. He will show us things to come. He will show us how to prepare. He will give us the answers we need. We don't have to look to man. The answer's within us. And let's get one thing straight. There are many unbelievers in the church. There are people who say they're Christian, but they don't believe God. Let that not be you. There are people who believe in man before they believe in God, but yet they say they're Christians. Look at our political candidates. You got all these people saying that they're Christians, but they're opposing one another. Something's not right. Somebody's a Christian and somebody's not, or both are not. But we don't listen to these people. We listen to the Holy Spirit to discern good from evil. That's what he's there for. He will show us things that are right, show us things that are come, and tell us how to prepare. Revelation 21:8, this is a powerful scripture, where Jesus gave his revelation to John, the Revelator. He tells us that unbelievers will end up in the lake of fire. Okay, here's Revelation 21:8. Now, I'll start with verse 7. He that overcometh, that means overcoming the things of the world, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you're an unbeliever in the church, this is your position with God. So it's time to repent. Jesus wrote the book of Revelation for the body of Christ. And Revelation 1:1 begins, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That is Revelation 1:1. So he's saying here that the book of Revelation was created for the purpose of informing the church what is coming to pass to get us ready. Jesus is talking to the church. Again, he ends Revelation 22:16. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And then he says, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let them that hear say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He's talking to the church. And he says, for I testify up to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, Revelation. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in his book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So he's talking to saved people. He's saying, I can take you out of the book of life here and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This book is for Christians, for believers. And he says, which testifies of these things, he says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The book of Revelation, what it says in there about unbelievers. He's talking to the church. Beloved, it's time, if you are a Christian, to grow up. Come out from among the world. It's time to grow up in Christ. Now, let me remind you also, a word that the Lord gave me. Back before the 2020 election, the Lord talked about what was going on. He said it was not about who was in the White House, but it was about whom America would serve. That election, as is the one in 2024, is about who will be God over America. Will it be Jesus Christ or will it be satanic agendas of the Antichrist? Look at the Antichrist laws that are in place. What do you want? We are left as a governing body on this earth. It's time for us to line up with Jesus Christ and ask him, what do you want, Lord? I'm talking to spiritual grown-ups here. People who can actually look around and see what's going on. Have our leaders lost our mind? The Lord says they're demonically influenced. That's why we have the spirit of Antichrist. Anti-anointing, anti-Jesus Christ is everywhere trying to take over our laws. They're orchestrated by elected officials whose laws and agendas are designed to mock God. Therefore, God is being mocked in the White House. He's being mocked on Capitol Hill. In the Supreme Court, and throughout many government offices throughout America. Why? Because the people are God and not on their jobs. These elected officials who are demonically influenced are legislating anarchy. They're adjudicating in the favor of anarchy. Therefore, the only hope for America and the nations of the earth is Jesus Christ. But the body of Christ has to step up to the plate. We have to do our duty to the glory of God. Stop looking at politicians. Stop looking outside for people to give us the answers to help us. Remember what God said to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14. God made a promise. He said, if my people, not if the government, not if the Republicans or the Democrats or the White House, he said, if my people, meaning blood-bought, spirit-filled believers in Jesus Christ, who are called by his name, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many of you know America needs healing? The nations need healing, but they can only be healed if the people of God are restored back to the Christ that we claim to serve, back to the God we claim to belong to. So what should we be doing as believers in Jesus Christ? First and foremost, repent. Come out from among them. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Pray. Ask God his solution. Ask God what he would have you to do, and then do it. Don't vote for people by weighing their propaganda. Don't vote for people based on what you feel about them or what you heard in the news. Don't even vote according to what you think. If Jesus is your Lord and Master, you do what he says. And never has God chosen a leader based on those things. In fact, 1 Samuel 16:7 says that man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the person's heart. Only God knows the heart of a person. So you vote by fasting and praying and then talking to God. Ask him. In fact, take Acts 1:24 as an example. When Judas died, the apostles needed to replace him. The Bible says, again, this is Acts 1:24, and they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knoweth the heart of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. How simple can it be, people? How simple can it be for you to go in your prayer closet and say, Lord, you know the heart of the men. Show us which one of these you've chosen. That's something the Lord taught me back in, 2000, whatever. He says, no, you go into the voting booth. You talk to me first. Because when you obey my decision, he says, I can move my hand upon your nation. But if you do what you want to do, if you do what people say is popular, I can't, my hands are tied. I can't do anything. God can only operate if we're in obedience to him. This is how leaders are chosen in the New Testament. God was always involved in the decision to tell him who to lead. Same is true today. Nothing's changed. But here's another thing. Once that person is in office, don't leave them there. Continue to pray for all who are in authority, according to 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2. This is God's only prescription that will enable a nation to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Look at our world. There's fighting. There's fierce fighting everywhere. There's rebellion everywhere. There's no peace. There's ungodliness ruling our laws. And in such dishonesty, our government is corrupt. Why? Because the people of God have joined sides instead of continually praying for those in authority according to the word of God. Beloved, this is serious business to God. From the beginning, even from creation, it was never God's intent that anyone would rule over his people but him. So let me stop here, because I don't think people realize that. Read the Bible. They're not just stories. They're examples for us to follow. They're examples where God tells his people who they are and what he expects of them in the governments of the world. He calls his people a special treasure, a peculiar people, 1 Peter 2:9. Why? God called us out of darkness. It's a calling on our lives, out of darkness, into his marvelous light. When we got saved, we were a prisoner in darkness. We were given freedom, no longer under the warden of this world. We have a new master. Jesus Christ is our master now. We have new rules. Colossians 1:13 says, God delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We have a new authority over us. It's the kingdom of God. We're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. So why would we consult with darkness on how we should live this new life in Christ? That's stupid. The devil don't know how to tell us how to live. The devil will tell you what he knows. The world can tell you what they know, but they don't know how to live in God's kingdom. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. They can't tell us how to vote, how to live, how to do our money. We're ambassadors of the kingdom. We're supposed to be telling them the new and living way. We're supposed to be telling them how God does it, not the other way around. Now, if this doesn't make sense to you, then you need to question whether or not you're even saved. If this is not ringing to your spirit, then you need to say, well, maybe I'm not saved at all. Maybe I don't believe in my heart and confess Jesus with my mouth, like it says in Romans 10:9. That's what you have to do to be saved. You have to believe it in your heart and confess him as your Lord and walk it out. And then protect your heart. Everything is done in the heart. Stop letting these evil thoughts and evil discussions get in your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Watch what you're meditating on. For the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We know what's in your heart by the words you speak. I can't tell you how many people I know that will talk about this political thing, and they're fighting mad. Why? It's in their heart. God is not in there. If he is, he's not given preeminence. The words of evil, wicked, demonic influenced men are taking over their hearts. Guard your hearts, beloved. Guard your hearts. Your words and your heart are supposed to be aligned up with God to speak what he says in the earth so that we can see a better world. That is where we're going. That is where we're supposed to be going. 1 Peter 3:10 and 11 says, for he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This is talking to Christians, to believers. If you want to live and you want to see good days, watch what you say with your mouth. Seek the peace. Turn away from evil. Seek peace with all men. Because if not, God won't answer your prayers. So some of you wonder why you're sick, why you got confusion in your house, why your money's having problems. check your words. Are they lining up with God, or you're lining up with the devil? And if you find out you lined up with the wrong one, repent. Come out from among them before more destruction comes upon you. And it is, because God is sending trouble upon this land. Trouble like we've never seen is coming to America, and it's directed at those who defy the living God. We're already suffering, and God cannot and will not heal this land until we turn around. So start praying for the land. Seek His will for the nation and for your own lives. And then obey the will, not just for the leaders, but for all men. Pray and seek God's will. That's what God expects us in this hour, that we would do the God thing, the Holy Ghost thing, and not the evil political thing. Remember, you are citizens of God's kingdom first and foremost. As ambassadors, we have the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to God. This is a duty of every Christian. We are carriers of His glory. People are praying for the glory to come, and the glory will manifest, but when it does, be warned. Because the same glory that will elevate some will destroy others. So make sure you are on the right side of God with your mouth and with your heart. Now, it's going to be a tumultuous season upon us, but one that will abundantly bless and prosper those who encounter every experience with the heart of God. God has something good for you. He has something abundantly rich and prosperous for you. But it has to come on a clean heart, a heart that's aligned with the Father and not with the things of this world. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.